The Cartober fundraising drive is on. Help give back this month by donating your used car, truck, RV, or boat to KPBS. Donating is easy and it's tax deductible. Learn more by visiting us at kpbs.org/car.
Good morning, I'm Tepi Cruz. It's Tuesday, October 8th. The city of Carlsbad is set to receive $3 million in state funding to address homelessness. More on what it will be used for next. But first, let's do the headlines. An Escondido resident is the first person in the county to get the dengue virus locally. The virus is spread by mosquitoes and not commonly found in the U.S. It's more likely for travelers to get the virus while visiting countries where it's common. So far this year, there have been 49 cases of travel-related dengue in the county. To protect the public's health and keep mosquitoes from potentially spreading the virus, the county's vector control will continue spraying treatments at nearby homes in Escondido through Thursday. No other locally acquired cases have been identified at this time. We're in the clear from the heat advisories in most parts of the county, and starting today, temperatures will slightly drop each day. But we still won't be feeling the fall weather quite yet. Today in the inland and mountain areas, temps will be in the low to mid-80s, and by the coast, it'll be in the mid-70s. In the desert areas, an excessive heat warning has been extended to 8 tonight, where temps are expected to reach up to 110 degrees. The Padres will be facing the Dodgers in the third game of the National League Division Series at Petco Park today. The NLDS Series is the best of five. So far, the Padres and Dodgers have each won a game. Game 4 of the NLDS Series will also be played in San Diego tomorrow. If Game 5 is necessary, the teams will head back to LA for that game on Friday. Today's game starts at 6:08 p.m. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Another round of state funding to address homelessness is heading to some California communities, including Carlsbad. North County reporter Tanya Thorne says this award is aimed at helping people living in their cars.
$131 million is going to 18 California cities. Carlsbad is the only San Diego city to make the list. Chris Schilling is the homeless services manager for the city of Carlsbad.
This $3 million grant is going to help Carlsbad address the increasing concerns about people living in their vehicles in the downtown Village and Barrio area by creating an innovative vehicular homeless outreach program.
He says this round of state funding will be used for outreach support, housing navigation, and rental assistance for people living in their cars. But this funding from the state comes with strings attached. Governor Gavin Newsom has been more critical with cities about how the funding is used and threatens to claw back funding if conditions aren't met. Tanya Thorne, KPBS News.
After a short reopening, South County beaches are again closed due to cross-border sewage. Reporter Andrew Dyer has more from Imperial Beach.
For almost 2 weeks, Imperial Beach lived up to the image its surfboard city sign projects. Bacteria levels dipped low enough to lift the longtime beach closure September 22nd. The reopening was short-lived. Friday, bacteria levels from cross-border sewage contamination forced the county to again close the beach. Bethany Case is a volunteer with the environmental nonprofit Surfrider Foundation and lives in Imperial Beach. She says she was concerned about contamination even while the beaches were open.
I think after having the beaches closed for over 1,000 days straight, we were excited to have the beach open a little bit, but also really skeptical.
Infrastructure work is underway on both sides of the border. According to a report in Voice of San Diego, Tijuana's main sewage line will be offline this month for repairs. That means for 2 weeks, millions of gallons of sewage has nowhere to go but the river. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
Yesterday was 1 year since Hamas killed more than 1,200 people and took hundreds of others hostage in Israel. Reporter Katie Anastas visited a memorial at UCSD commemorating the anniversary.
A year after the attack, there are 101 hostages still in captivity. The UCSD chapter of Students Supporting Israel set up a table with a seat for each of them. Andrew Jeter is president of the group.
Our main message is to make sure that, you know, we pay respects to the people that lost their lives and that were kidnapped on October 7th.
The ensuing war has killed more than 40,000 Palestinians. UCSD student James Wright stopped by the display on his way to class.
From my understanding, it has not been a proportionate conflict or a proportionate response to the conflict.
Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
The 49th Congressional District covers part of San Diego's North County and a portion of Orange County. Reporter Tanya Thorne has a look at the candidates in that race.
The seat is currently held by Democrat Mike Levin. He is seeking re-election, and this could be his fourth term.
We're going to work on everything from the cost of goods, whether it's gas, groceries, housing, or insurance, getting the spent nuclear fuel off our coast at San Onofre, doing everything we can for our veterans, continue to advance bipartisan legislation for them, and trying to get bipartisan immigration reform.
Transportation and climate change are also key issues for Levin, working on securing the Low Sand Rail Corridor, as well as keeping sand on our beaches. Republican candidate Matt Gunderson didn't respond to requests for interviews, but his first political ad focused on his stance on abortion.
On a woman's right to choose, I'm pro-choice. I believe abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. I don't want politicians dictating health care for my daughters.
And his priorities?
Lowering housing, grocery, and gas prices, securing the border, and protecting Social Security. We can end the overheated political rhetoric and focus on fixing a broken Washington.
Gunderson is an auto dealership owner and lives in Ladera Ranch. Tanya Thorne, KPBS News.
Registered voters in the county should keep an eye out for their ballots in the mail this week. Early voting at the registrar's office also begins this week, and starting today, you can also drop off your ballot at any of the registrar's official ballot drop boxes. For more information about the election, visit our newsroom's voter guide at kpbs.org/voterhub. The Polynesian people were migrants and settlers, but they didn't settle a continent. They settled islands separated by a vast ocean they had to navigate. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge presents to us a scientist who has learned that migratory history from genetic sampling and from the stories his grandma told him.
Keolu Fox stands on a balcony overlooking a cloud-covered Pacific Ocean on the edge of the UC San Diego campus. Keolu is a genetic scientist and a professor of anthropology at UCSD. He's also a native Hawaiian who is using genetic analysis to learn how his ancestors, his kapuna, move from one island to the next. Risky exploratory trips that he compares to moonshots. Keolu believes that journey ultimately brought Polynesians to a pre-Columbian landing on the South American continent.
It's traveling thousands of miles across our planet's oldest, most gnarly, most dangerous ocean, and being completely happy with that process. You find comfort in reading the stars at night. You find comfort in understanding different wind and currents like this. You find comfort in reading all of this different type of ecological metadata that allows you to know the direction that you're going.
That knowledge was passed from one generation to the next. Today it stands alongside modern scientific research.
It's true that our grandparents told us that we came from Tahiti, But now I can show you in an unbiased way that we have another thing to be proud of, and that is that we're the greatest seafaring and voyaging people in human history.
Evidence of Polynesian migration is seen in many ways, including the languages islanders speak, but it's not been clear what path the migration took or just when it happened. Thanks to modern genetic analysis by Fox and his research group, they've been able to draw a map and establish a timeline for that migration. A paper published in Nature 3 years ago presented a specific eastward migratory path. Keolu was a co-author. By testing the genome of people on one island and comparing it to those on islands settled by their descendants or their forebears, you can understand the sequence of island settlement. Alex Ioannidis is a computational geneticist at UC Santa Cruz and another co-author of that Nature article.
So if you imagine that on the original parent island from which they came, there were only, let's say, you know, 1 in 100 people with red hair. But on the new island, if, you know, one of the 10 people on that boat had red hair, then the new island, you're going to have 10% frequency red hair, right? So you're going to suddenly have this really strong effect just depending on what the founders happen to have.
Evolution of DNA also lets you calculate how many generations separate the people of Tahiti from their distant cousins in Hawaii. So, given the speed and the extent of the Polynesian eastward expansion, why didn't they end up in America? If they found Easter Island, how could they miss a whole continent? Keolu Fox said they didn't, and they arrived hundreds of years before Columbus.
And the reality is that the nail is in the coffin, baby. The idea that our Polynesian ancestors made it to South America first is a fact.
Early Polynesians and American Indians did make contact centuries ago. That is indisputable. Polynesian islanders share the same genetic signature seen in at least one South American Indian tribe. Ioannidis says the timing of Polynesian expansion also favors a hypothesis that they landed on the continent.
Settlement process of the remote islands all the way out to Easter Island was occurring right around the time, around the 1200s, 1100s and 1200s, that we date the contact with the Native Americans to have also occurred.
Still, some questions remain because so far, no Polynesian DNA from that era has been found in South America. Ioannidis says the possibility that an Indian boat made it to a South Sea island to initiate the contact cannot be discounted. But Keolu calls that scenario highly unlikely, given how little evidence we find of Native American navigational skills or their construction of ocean-worthy vessels. Researchers continue their work to answer the unanswered questions. Keolu wants to bring genome testing to North America. He hopes that indigenous tribes along the California coast will offer samples to see if they may be linked to the Polynesian people.
The idea of testing a hypothesis that brings indigenous people closer together around unity and connectivity and harmony and balance, and saying that we had a relationship before settler colonialism. I think that's a really powerful thing.
Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
Join our newsroom tomorrow at 6 p.m. for a live discussion on the cross-border housing crisis in the San Diego-Tijuana region. You can catch it on the KPBS YouTube and Instagram. We'll want to hear your questions and comments throughout the conversation. More details on our website at kpbs.org. That's it for the podcast today. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Tuesday.
The Cartober fundraising drive is on. Help give back this month by donating your used car, truck, RV, or boat to KPBS. Donating is easy and it's tax deductible. Learn more by visiting us at kpbs.org/car.